Hello and welcome to Leading Words. Words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to help you receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself stated and parsed and said that they are spirit and they are life. Words to lead you unto life everlasting. Welcome again and welcome. For the past two Sundays, we've been speaking concerning the throne of God. And when we talk about the throne of God, we mean the control of God, the pantokratos, God running the kingdom and running and ruling over the affairs of men. In the book of Daniel chapter 4, of course, Daniel stated that the matter is settled. The matter is settled. He said the matter is this, that God rules in the kingdom of men, and He give it to whomsoever He wills. And He even give it or set up the abased of men, the lowest of men. He give it to whomsoever He will. So God run all the kingdoms of this world. He rules in the affairs of men. And we've been saying also, because we take the scriptures from Revelation chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And in those two verses only, even verse 2, if you want to be a little more technical, 2, 3, and 4, Revelation chapter 4. In those three verses, Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4, we see that heaven and this universe is not run on its own. It does not run on its own. It's not on what we call autopilot. You know, you put this thing on autopilot and it will run by itself. No. This universe is not run on its own, does not run on its own. And this universe also is not run by other entities outside of God. No, it doesn't. We hear people saying that this universe sometimes is run by karma. And that karma does do this, and if you do bad, karma makes sure that bad come back to you. Well, let me tell you something. Karma doesn't run this thing, and karma have nothing to do with this universe. Matter of fact, we don't even know who is karma. Then somebody said, well, this universe is run by Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law, anything that will go bad, or anything that can go bad, will go bad. Well, let me tell you, we don't even know who is Murphy. And we don't even know that Murphy have laws. But whatever, I'm here to tell you that God runs this universe. Not karma, not Murphy. And there's another one. There's a woman by the name of Fatum, a goddess by the name of Fatum. That's where we get our word fatalism from. Fatalities, you know, Fatum. And they say, well, Fatum does determine the endings of things. And that's why when something ends, Fatum decided it to end in that fashion. So when something goes bad, there's an accident and a person dies, we say, uh-oh, the person met her or his fate. Fate for Fatum. And then we come up and say, well, how many fatalities you have in this accident that just happened? Fatalities, Fatum, fatalism. And then somebody from Hollywood, I said it about 2 weeks straight now in a row. We said that somebody from Hollywood, one of these big shot singers, come up with a song, que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. We can't change it. The future is not ours to say, que será, será. And then God said, no. God said, and you need to look at the tapes or the videos of the last 2 weeks, because the last 2 weeks shows us that in heaven there is a throne, and that somebody is seated on this throne, and the one that is sitting on the throne is the first and the last. And Jesus claimed that power, claimed that authority, claimed that position. He said, I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the ending. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega in the Greek format. And then he said, I am the Aleph and the Tav, if you speak in the Hebrew format. So what is he saying? Nobody finishes anything around here until I determine it, because I am the first and I am the last. Philippians 1:6. He that began this work in you is well able to perform it or perfect it even until the day of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus begins something in you, he's the one who will finish it. So it doesn't finish. It does not finish when the doctor says it's finished, when the undertaker says it's finished, when the lawyers or the judge say it's finished, when the circumstances of life says it's finished. No, it is only finished when God says it is finished. And Jesus is the only one who holds that. He said, because I am the first and I am the last. But I want to show something else now. I want us to look now, same Revelation chapter 4. But now we are going to look at verse 4 and 5. He said, I saw this throne in heaven. Verse 4. He said in verse 3 that around the throne there was a rainbow. And you need to look at last week's program and see about this rainbow. But beside the rainbow now, he said there are some activities around this throne in heaven. He said, because when I looked at the throne in heaven, I saw some unusual activities around the throne. And what are the activities? Let us look at verse 4, chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. Now look at verse 4. He said in verse 4, and round about the throne, you see that? There were 24 seats or other throne, because the Greek word there is thronos. So it means throne. So there is a throne of God, the throne of God. But around the throne of God, even though you have a big rainbow that represents the promises of God, and the rainbow is made out of emerald, which symbolizes praises. But now he's saying there are some other things around the throne. And he said, when you look around the throne, there are 24 other little thrones. Verse 4, it says, and around the throne there were 24 seats or other thrones. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting on these seats. And look what it says, and they were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And then verse 5 said, and out of the throne, meaning the throne of God, proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. So now we want to look today on the activities that are going on around the throne. Around the throne, there are some activities. And if you look carefully with me, the first activities that we are seeing that is going on around the throne is the arrival. The great arrival. And what we mean by this arrival is, look at this. It says, and around the throne, there were 24 seats of the thrones. Now, God had made a promise. Jesus Christ, rather said, made a promise in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And he made a promise to the disciples, because Peter said to him, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? What are we going to get? Because we left everything to follow you. Matthew 19, 27. And Jesus in Matthew 19, 28 answered back and said, don't you worry. All of you that give up things to follow me, he said, in heaven, I am going to give you guys your own throne also. You will have your own throne in heaven beside me. Right? And in Revelation, even in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, he made the promise. He said, to him that overcometh will I give to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I sit down with my Father on his throne. You see what he's saying? So those of you that gave up to follow me, he said, you're going to have your own throne around my throne. That promise, he made it for the disciples. But also God had made promises like that in the Old Testament to the Old Testament leaders. So when you look at the scripture here, the Bible says there were 24 thrones beside the main throne of God. So who are these 24 people that sitting on 24 thrones? Well, 12 of them represent the Old Testament elders, and 12 of them represent the New Testament apostles or the New Testament elders, because the scripture called them elders. It says there were 24 thrones, but on each one of them were seated 24, and each one of them was seated an elder, a presbyter, and it used the word presbyteros. That's the Greek word for elder. So he said, and each one of these thrones, the 24, each one had an elder sitting there. And if you know, remember in the days of Moses, there were elders. Each tribe had an elder, and Moses had his elders. There was a time that Moses had up to 70 elders, but the number of completion, of completeness, is 12. So 12 of these guys represents the elders of the Old Testament saints or children of God. And then the other 12 represents the New Testament church. So in total, the 24, that symbolic number, means the elders of the people of God, Old and New Testament together, all of them sitting around the throne of God. Now look at this. I call it the arrival. Because if you notice, the scripture said unto us, right? They were sitting. It says they were sitting, and he used that Greek word katemenos. Katemenos. It means they were resting. They sat there to rest. Like if you just come from a journey, like if you just came in from a long trip, and you come in with your suitcase, you know, and as you get home, one of the first thing you do, you open the door, you bring your suitcase, this is, you put them in the corner, and the first thing you do, oh, you go over to the chair, and you sit down, and you get your rest. And that's the first thing that these guys are doing. They are sitting, resting. Why? Because for some reason, they just came from a long journey. And exactly that's what it is. Because in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11, it says that we will be sitting and resting from our labor. We will enter into our rest, the Bible says. Yes, because this life here is a journey. And this life is a very, very hard journey. And we fight and we toil and we work and we struggle and we resist temptation and resist the enemy, and we fight off sin, and we try our best to live a holy and a righteous life, and then finally we make it into heaven, and the first thing God said to us, have a seat, come on into your rest. Rest now from your labor. So that's the first thing we see here happening. That's why I'm saying this is the great arrival. We also are going up to where God has his throne. And the first thing we are going to do when we get up there is to take our rest. Take our rest. The second thing now we see about these guys, they're sitting and they're taking their rest. Second thing comes now, the Bible says, and they are clothed in white. They are clothed in white. Oh boy. In the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, God made a promise. Chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. This is what God is saying. He said, anybody that overcome, I'm going to dress you in white. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father. And look what it said, before my Father and before the angels or his angels. What is he trying to say? He's saying that if we overcome, If we overcome and we fight and struggle against the forces of the enemy, but we overcome, he said, he's going to dress us in white raiment. Now these guys, they are dressed already. So number one, they are sitting. Number two, they are dressed in the white raiment. What are they saying to me? This is saying to us then that these guys overcame already, and these guys somehow received their reward. They are dressed in white because they overcame and they are ready to be presented to the Father. Look, Jesus Christ even said right there in chapter 3, he said, he that overcome will walk with me, will walk with me, walk with me, will walk with me, and walk with you to do what? He said, he will walk with me. Listen to what he said. He that overcome, he will walk with me, and I will confess his name to my Father. So if you overcome even the difficulties of this life, Jesus promised you will walk with him. He will dress you in white raiment, and then he will present you and confess your name to his heavenly Father. To his heavenly Father. What do you mean by that? You will dress, he will dress you in white. You will walk with him, and he will present you to his Father. He will confess your name to his. Doesn't that sound like a little marriage going on there? You dress in white, then you walk with him, and then he confess your name to the Father, as if to say, Father, this is my bride. Father, this is the woman I'm going to marry. Father, here she is, dressed in white, symbolizing the purity, and then confess your name before the Father. Oh, that's beautiful. That's why we live the way we live. That's why we try to live a righteous life. That's why we try to keep our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when that final day comes, he can confess our name before the Father. Why we don't fight? Why we don't cuss and get drunk and run off and play the fool of ourselves? Why we tolerate people abusing us and hitting us and striking us and doing things to us? Why we tolerate all the evil that comes upon us sometimes? Why we don't fight back, strike back, push back, force back? You know why? Because all these sacrifices that we are doing now, tomorrow they are going to pay off. It's going to be worthy. They are not in vain. If we are faithful and overcome, when we get there, we will have a place to sit and rest. And when we get there, he will dress us in white. And when we get there, we will walk with him. Walk with me. And when we get there, he will confess our name before the Father. So it's not in vain. And where is this going to take place? Around the throne of God. Around the throne. I can't wait to put on my white suit or whatever they're going to give me up there. But when I get there, I will have on my white robe or my white garment. Oh, don't you even call for me, because I'll be walking with Jesus Christ. I will be walking with Jesus Christ when that day comes. And I will be presented before the Father. He will call my name and say, Father, this is my servant, Kashedon. Look at him here. Oh, you will know about it, because the shout, the scream that I'm going to be doing, there's no way you can block it out of your head or your ears. And you will remember I said it to you on a day like this, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. But there's a third thing that happened here. The Bible said that these 24 elders that are seated on the throne, it says that they are dressed in white, they are sitting, getting their rest, and then look what happened. Now they have crowns on their heads. And the crowns that they have on their heads, they are made out of gold. They have golden crowns. And this just reminds us of what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith and I finished the course. Look what he said, I fought the good fight and I kept the faith. I finished this course. What is he trying to say? That's what happened to these guys. They reached to heaven because they finished the course. They fought the good fight. Now they have a crown on their head. And notice that word there for crown is Stephanos, where you get the name Stephanie from. It means a crown that you did not inherit from your father, but it's a crown that you got because you were running a race and you finished the race. Or a crown that you got because you were fighting and you won the battle. A crown that you overcame something. You struggled, you run until you reach the ending. That's the crown of accomplishment. You see that? And that's what Paul said. I fought a good fight and I finished my course. I was running like crazy, but I reached to the end. And then he said, but I kept the faith. I never lost that faith. I trusted God. And then he said, and now await me a crown of glory, a crown of life, a crown that is uncorruptible, made out of gold. And they got their crowns because they overcame and they made it to heaven. And you know what happened in heaven? Big celebration. Big celebration. These guys that represents those that got saved, that sat on the 24 thrones, they represent us. That's us sitting there. God having us to rest. God decking us in white raiment. God giving us a reward. And Jesus said it. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his deed. Listen, God have a reward for you. And all the suffering that you have gone through, all the difficulties that you have gone through, it's not in vain. And all the things that you've been tolerating, people running over you, people stepping on you, saying things about you, and you just staying holding to the faith. I want you to know there is a reward for you. There is a reward, and it's a golden crown, a crown of life and a crown of glory. God promised that to you, and he's going to see to it that you receive a full reward. But you know the last part of it? Look at the last part. The Bible says, and then what happened? There were lightning, and there were thundering, and there were voices. Lightning and thundering and voices. What did it mean? There was fireworks going on in heaven. Celebration for your arrival. You made it, and now God is celebrating for you. And if you want to read a little bit more about that celebration, read Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 through 5. It says, and the voices were saying, praise God, worship God, worship and give him glory. God bless you. May you make it into heaven. May you make it to your rest when that time comes. And may you keep the faith and receive a full reward. God bless you. God bless you. Until we meet again, remember, leading words, words for everlasting.